Total Tuscany Podcast, number 21. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm Travis Justice, joined by my broadcasting partner in crime, Mr. Pat Campagna. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Travis, it's been too long.
Yeah. It has been way too long. In fact, if my calculations are correct, it's been almost a month since our last Total Tuscany Podcast, and we apologize for that. We have things in our life that pull us in different direction. I was bringing one of my daughters to college. You're getting your kids off to high school. Now everybody's settled in where they need to be, and we can get back to doing what we need to be doing, and that's podcasting.
We're back to where we want to be.
You know, it's one of those things, before we get to the interview of today, is I want to talk to people about a little travel update. And that is, if you're looking for airfare right now to Tuscany and you're not going the traditional vacation route through a travel agent, or you're trying, you know, one of those tours, I look for airfare daily to Florence and Pisa. And Pat knows this because I share the rates with him. And from where we live right now, we're looking at about $1,300 to $1,400 round trip. And that's going in the spring. I did something different as I was looking the other day online for tickets. And I went ahead and did a package deal with hotel. And you may want to try this too, because a round trip ticket to Florence just by itself was $1,300 in, you know, some taxes. For the hotel and the airfare was $1,250. So booking the hotel with the airfare lowered everything that much.
That's considerable.
That's a considerable savings. And keep in mind, you're paying for everything up front because this was on Expedia. So you wouldn't even have to stay at the hotel if you didn't want to, because you've already paid for the hotel. Mm-hmm. They've got their money. And you could go stay at a villa if you wanted to, or somewhere else. But there's plenty of good hotel selections too. So as you're starting to plan your trip to Tuscany and you're looking for just round trip airfare, and if you're doing it on your own, we suggest doing it on your own, look for a little package deal on that may bring the price down as well.
Well, and what if they follow our model? If you follow our model, you'll be staying in a hotel probably on the back end of your trip anyway, which is going to cost far more than if you just book it through the package.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So keep that in mind. Make sure to, as you look for airfare, and we like to use Expedia.com, just look for a package deal with hotel and flight included. Now to today's interview, and it's a fascinating interview. We like to bring you different perspectives, different views of Tuscany and Italy, and this one comes from one of our favorite expats, Elizabeth Evans, who runs the blog SurvivingInItaly.com.
Elizabeth is, well, for all you parents listening in the car with your kids, you may want to turn it off if they're little. She's irreverent. She's hysterical.
What Pat is trying to say is she swears. She's got a potty mouth.
But we love it.
But that makes her more enduring. And by the end of this interview, you are actually going to love her.
She's real and sincere. And that's what we like about her.
And it's that realness, that sincerity that comes out, is why you're going to enjoy Elizabeth Evans on today's Total Tuscany Podcast. Elizabeth Evans is our guest, and Surviving in Italy is the blog. And Elizabeth, I got to be honest with you. I knew I liked you before I even talked to you, because right when I go to your homepage, and this was, 6 or 7 months ago, I saw a girl holding a bottle of wine, riding a bicycle, drinking, and smoking a cigarette. And I said, she's awesome.
Right after our own hearts. Yeah.
You are awesome.
That's my kind of girl. Putting everybody else in danger.
Nice. You know what's interesting about your blog, Surviving in Italy, is that it's not like any other blog that revolves around Florence or Tuscany, because it's spoken with humor. It's spoken in real terms, and you don't hold back. Is that your total personality coming out in the blog?
I mean, yes, definitely part of it. In person, I'm a little bit more shy when I first meet people, which is probably also part of my problem in Italy. Yeah, I'm not super quick on to like warm up to people. But yeah, I mean, that's my personality. I have weird ex-boyfriends who occasionally read it and they're like, it's you. It's just you. It's like hanging out with you. So I guess it's authentic. I'm not sure I should be proud of that, because there is some shit on there that maybe someone shouldn't write or think about. But
Well, I think that's what's great. It's almost like a running, you know, personal journal. It's your diary, right?
Kind of, yeah, yeah. I mean, I wanted to write about living in Italy, but I wanted it to be more narrative, like, you know, more literary and less like a typical travel blog. So, I mean, yeah, it is a lot like a journal. Yeah, definitely.
So tell us, to start out with, where are you from? How long were you living in the States? And when did you move to Italy?
So I grew up in Utah as probably
a foul mouth girl. Are you Mormon? Are you a Mormon foul mouth?
I am not. And that's probably why I'm sort of antisocial, because I was one of the like very few non-Mormons in any given neighborhood. So, you know, I was like the mom with the, you know, camel toe 90s jeans that nobody else was allowed to talk to.
That's perfect.
So you grew up in Utah. How did you end up in Italy?
So in 2009, I moved to Italy for a graduate program in art, which totally didn't make any sense because my undergrad is in sociology and literature. But I wanted something different, and I wanted to kind of just be free and have fun. And I'd been to Italy a few times on vacations, and I loved it. I loved Florence. You know, for the many reasons that most people love Florence. And so I just thought, oh, why not?
What was the biggest adjustment when you got there? Because were you the typical American? Were people like making fun of you? You said you know, you're the typical camel toe mom in Utah. What were you what were you like in Florence?
Well, you know, honestly, because my father's Persian, I look Italian or Italian enough. So honestly, until I tried to speak, very few people, you know, could even tell. So I was lucky that I didn't have to deal with a lot of the, you know, dirty men screaming in the street, because they don't tend to do that to their own women. So I was safe from a lot of that. Probably the biggest shock for me is that I couldn't walk around with ginormous cups of coffee. And I felt like people were trying to fight me all the time. Like, I remember like the first year I was like, why in the hell are all these men trying to fight me? Because, you know, they're so, you know, they got the hand movements going. They talk much louder than what I'm used to in Utah. Utah is kind of a place of like quiet talkers. So, yeah, that was shocking for me. I thought that every man wanted to box.
Pat says, you ask, he's still laughing because he thinks he...
You know, we're going to have to edit this interview.
No, we're not. You're going to be laughing the whole time.
She's
that's why.
Crazy.
You know, he said you're batshit crazy. That's not right.
I love
that's
it.
Not the first time.
I love it.
But see, you fit the stereotype because you go there, then you marry an Italian. Was that your goal when you went there, was to marry an Italian?
No, absolutely not. In fact, you know, I told my husband this. I probably shouldn't. But I said, you know, my dream was kind of always to marry like some uptight British asshole. And I was very hesitant even when I met my husband. I don't know if you've read anything about our relationship, but like, you know, our first few dates, it was almost like I was trying to drive him away. I definitely did not plan on marrying an Italian guy at all. Totally the opposite of what I ever thought I would do in my life.
So what, I mean, you write extensively about your relationship with your husband and also his family. I won't get into the details because I want everybody to go to survivinginitaly.com and read those stories. Mm-hmm. What does he think about your sense of humor and writing about your relationship the way you do?
You know, he's fine with it. We respect each other a lot. So there are certain things that happen and, you know, he'll say right after, you know, he'll look at me and be like, don't you dare put this in your blog. And I respect those boundaries, but he knows, you know, anything else is just up for game. Mm-hmm. So, and he laughs, he reads it and he laughs. And I mean, he lives with me, so he kind of knew what he was getting into. So nothing really surprises him.
So Elizabeth, I read you talk about the bitchy face that you were putting on. And I'm trying to figure, so is that something that you were, was that bitchy face getting worse as you lived in Italy? And what was going on there?
My bitchy face? Definitely. I had a lot of weeks that were great. And then I had a lot of weeks where I was really bitter and kind of crazy. So during those weeks, I'm pretty sure, yeah, I had like amazing bitch face skills.
And it can be a skill, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, people, there are expat blogs all over the place. And yours is probably one of the most real. Say somebody goes to you, hey, I'm just going to pick up. I'm going to move to Florence because you did it. What would you be... What would be your advice to these people?
You know, I get dozens of those emails a day. Surprisingly, people ask me for advice. I don't know what these people have been drinking, but yeah, I mean, my advice is always you should do it. I mean, I think that there are a lot of wonderful things about living abroad. I think that it really makes you grow as a person and you discover things about yourself that maybe, you know, you didn't know were there. And I feel like it kind of makes you tougher while turning you into a 3-year-old toddler who throws temper tantrums and can't speak. I mean, it's just such a unique experience. I think everyone should do it, but they should definitely be prepared. I mean, I think one of the biggest things with moving to Italy is that everyone thinks that they're moving to some kind of like unicorn bliss, you know, you're like walking through like daisy fields all day and like some guy with like a chiseled stomach is carrying an olive plate behind you.
You mean that, that's not the way it is?
Not anywhere I've been. Maybe I need to get a foreign.
Well, you bring up that what the dream is. What was the most frustrating part about being an expat in Tuscany and Florence and the red tape that you had to go through? What was frustrating about that?
You know, a lot of people say the bureaucracy, but that wasn't the hardest part for me. I think the most difficult thing was integrating into an Italian family. I was raised in a multicultural family, and so I thought that that would be kind of an easy, you know, an easy thing, and it just totally wasn't. I mean, there's like every aspect of like your being is kind of dictated by, you know, culture, and yeah, it was just really rough. A lot of crying and a lot of crazy.
And what's the aside from the food and the things that, you know, other guests have talked about, what was the most surprising thing, the best thing that you encountered?
You know, one of my favorite things about Florence is in my neighborhood in Campo di Marte, like I loved how these little old women, like clad in black, I'm assuming widows or they're just very fashionable 80-year-olds, would like hold hands and walk around the block together. And I thought that was the cutest thing I've ever seen. Like, I love the relationships in Italy. I love how close, I mean, as much as it bugs the shit out of me, I love how close the families are. I mean, I think that's something that we could really improve on in the States. I think just the relationships with people is by far like one of the best things about Italy.
It's funny that you say it because on our blog, TotalTuscany.com, I snapped a picture in San Gimignano of just old guys just well-dressed in like in this amphitheater area. And every time I go back now, I find myself when I get my camera out that I love to take pictures of old people because old people in Italy seem happy. When they're with the husbands and wives, you bring that up, the relationships. There's something about them that they resonate a certain aura that you don't see in the United States that often.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what I love. I mean, you can find it in very few places, I think, and they've managed to hold on to that, and it's just amazing.
Surviving in Italy is the blog. Elizabeth Evans is our guest on the Total Tuscany podcast. You are now have left Italy for a short period of time. You're stationed, I believe, in Arizona because mm-hmm. you're writing a book, and you're writing a book based off the blog. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
What? Why'd you have to leave Italy to write the book? Most people go to Italy to write the book. You leave Italy to write the book.
Well, I think it depends on what you're writing about. With memoir, I mean, a lot of people, you know, they need some kind of distance from what they're writing about. You know, you write about your divorce. You definitely don't want to do it while you're getting divorced, or the entire book is going to be like, you know, fuck that guy. I hope he dies a terrible death, like, and that's going to be the whole, you know, 200 pages. And, you know, being an expat's really frustrating. So when I was there and I was dealing with in-laws, I mean, it would have been a very bitter book. And even though Italy's amazing, all of the frustrations, you know, I didn't want the book to be about me kind of vomiting my frustrations out on the pages. So I wanted to get some distance and miss it a little bit so that, you know, I could do it justice and it would be, you know, a book about, you know, Italy as a whole, the annoying things, which are many, and the great things, which are many. So
tell us a funny story about trying to integrate with one of those, with your in-laws, into that culture.
Oh, let's see. There are so many. That's kind of a hard question. I think probably, and this is in my book, well, two come to mind. One, I did an Easter lunch a few years ago at my husband's house, and I'm not Catholic, so that was always like a huge form of contention for his family. And they had gone to the church to, you know, get the jar of what I was convinced was vampire repellent water, and the family did not find it amusing at all. And we're having lunch, you know, we're eating, and the mom, you know, she blesses the table, you know, I don't know if they do this in Florence as well, but in the casino area, she's like, you know, splashing the water around, and then she turns to me and screams baptismo and throws the rest of the jar in my face.
So she baptized you right there,
apparently.
Now I gotta ask, you're not Catholic, but have you been baptized before?
Apparently at that table.
So that was your only baptism. Well, now you're going straight to heaven. So she feels better. Right. So have they come around? I mean, has the relationship gotten better?
You know, yeah. I mean, since we've left, I definitely find myself missing them a lot. And towards the end, you know, it was definitely a lot better. After the wedding, it improved the second wedding, because we've had two. After the second wedding, I mean, it definitely improved a lot. There's still a lot of things they don't understand and that confuse them and frustrate them. And the same with me. I mean, I grew up in the States, so I'm very independent. I have a hard time with, like, his mom trying to iron my panties and, you know, trying to unpack and repack my suitcases when there are things in there I don't want them to find. And I mean, I still struggle with that. And they get equally as upset because they don't understand why I won't let them love me, you know? Like, why this girl doesn't understand love? Give me her panties.
Like, do they really iron panties there?
Absolutely.
Are you expected to iron your husband's whitey-tidies?
Yes, yes. No, we've had this talk. We've had this talk about how I'm supposed to keep my husband's appearance up. And I told them that he's not five. And if he wanted to walk around looking like a barbarian, and that was entirely his problem.
Yeah, you know how to win him over.
This is unlike any other interview we've had.
No, it's not. But I like it. I absolutely love it. So you fit the American stereotype to them.
Well, I mean, yes and no. They equate me not ironing his things and not ironing our sheets with, you know, me not caring for the family. But maybe a little bit.
What's the craziest thing you've ever seen over there?
Oh, the craziest thing I've ever seen?
Yes.
I took Oliver to a park once, and there was a guy who was like standing up on the mountain masturbating, watching me play with my dog. That was probably the most traumatic and surprising thing I've ever seen.
I mean, you'd expect that somewhere in like New York City.
Right.
But not Florence.
No. And here's the worst part. That was the second time that some like weirdo had like shook his wiener at me. When we were in San Lorenzo.
Parents, turn your podcast off at this point.
You can edit all of this.
No, we're going to play it because it's too funny. It's way too funny.
We're not editing anything.
Yeah, and that was the second time. I went, my school was in San Lorenzo, or at least one of the buildings. And one day, a group of me and my friends, we were going to the grocery store together. And this guy like screamed behind us and we turned around. There's like four or five of us. And he had his pants around his ankles and he started running towards us, like shaking his willy.
My question is, and we talked before this thing even started about Georgia Jupe, who was girl in Florence, and you're friends with her. What the hell does everybody have to have a dog over there for? You have a dog too, right? I mean, it's like Italians would rather have dogs than kids.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, statistically, I think that's true, at least in Florence. You know, I have always been a massive dog person, but my dog was a birthday gift from my husband, who claimed that dogs were like plants, which he regrets saying a lot now that our dog is more like a, you know, perpetual teenager and ruins everything every day. But it was a surprise gift from my husband. But you know, people in Florence, they love dogs. I mean, in any given day, I go into a store, they all know his name. All of the workers scream Oliver, and they pick him up and they play with him and they give him food and they give him prosciutto, they give him water. I mean, dogs are just treated really well, and you know, they're allowed in restaurants. I mean, they're just really members of the family. So I kind of think they have replaced kids in it, in at least in Florence. You know,
so,
they live.
So
they live
did you bring Oliver
time.
Back to the States with you?
Oh, of course.
So
yeah.
So he's got to hate it because he can't go in any restaurants. Nobody's feeding, you know, table scraps. They're not giving him good prosciutto. He's probably going, he's like, what is this dry dog food I'm eating?
It's true. No, he hates it.
So you're writing the book. Do you have a name for the book yet?
I think the book will be Surviving in Italy, because I'm not very creative.
Yes, you are.
I just think it fits, you know. So far that is the title until someone, you know, takes it and then changes it, I guess.
When do you think we'll see it?
I don't know. I'm still working on it. I thought I'd be done by now, but you know, I've had some writer's block and it's taking some time. So maybe next year.
You should go to Colorado for that. I heard they can solve it there. Writer's block. Before I let you go, and I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Is it a capybara?
A capybara.
What is that?
You're talking about Dwayne. Dwayne. I stumbled upon capybara pictures like, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago, and I just became obsessed with them.
But what are they?
What are they?
They're like giant guinea pigs that make this sound like you're trying to turn on a lawnmower, and they swim and they can do tricks and they're so cute, and I want one, and I want to put him in a suit and name him Dwayne and give him a monocle. We're going to be best friends when my husband stops being a dick and lets me have one.
So the husband's holding it back then, isn't he?
Yeah, he said no capybara.
But you should say, you gave me the damn dog, give me the capybara.
I actually tried that. I did. It didn't work. That was my first argument.
Elizabeth, we've talked to a lot of people. The next time we're in Florence, you're the first person we're going to come to.
Will you party with us?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent. Elizabeth, we appreciate it. The blog is Surviving in Italy. The book coming soon. You're enjoyable. Have a great time, and thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys. It was great talking with you.
Thank you. It doesn't get any more real than that, Pat.
That was a blast. That was a blast.
You know, if you didn't smile and laugh at some point during that interview, then our sense of humor may not be for you. But I tell you what, check out her blog, because she's got some fascinating stories about family, about the dogs, just about the lifestyle of transitioning as an American in Italy. And they are hilarious stories. And I can't wait for a book to come out, because that's going to be just as funny.
And she pulls away that curtain, that Hollywood curtain, that veil in front of it, and she makes it all very real.
You know, I found it interesting that she said she's kind of shy. though I believe that, because I think it's easier for her to write and that personality comes out. I've met a lot of people that once they start putting stuff down on paper, like, I never saw this side of you.
Uh-huh.
And Elizabeth would be one of those. Check out her blog, survivinginitaly.com. Read her book when it comes out. It's not out yet. Of course, tell a friend about the Total Tuscany podcast and tell them to visit totaltuscany.com. He's Pat Capagna. I'm Travis Justice. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again soon with another Total Tuscany podcast.